The dead body of Jesus was taken off of the cross by a rich man, Joseph of Arimathea. He'd asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. And he took Jesus and he wrapped him in white linen and burial spices. And he quickly placed him in his own unused tomb. I say quickly because it was coming up to the Sabbath and Jesus had to be buried before sundown. So the body of Jesus was now wrapped in a mummified state, laid in a tomb that was carved out of the side of a hill, which should have been sealed with a cover stone that weighed about 300 pounds. That was like the final blow. If there were any disciples still around to observe this, they knew now beyond a shadow of a doubt that the whole thing was over. Jesus was dead, he was buried, and with that, the messianic dream was gone. Now, the enemies of Jesus remembered something that the disciples didn't seem to get. And that was that Jesus said he would conquer death by rising up again on the third day. He said, just like Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights, so would the Son of Man be in the belly of the earth 3 days and three nights, but he would conquer death and rise again. So his enemies went to Pilate and explained how the disciples might have tried to pull off this as some kind of hoax by stealing the dead body of Jesus. So Pilate gave them a squadron of soldiers, said, make the tomb as secure as you can. I think at this point Pilate knew something supernatural was happening here. And he was saying, like, if you think you can stop it, give it your best shot. And so they waited one day, and then 2 days. And then finally, at the third day dawned, bright and early, and the women, thank God for the women. Amen. The disciples who remained in Jerusalem, they were still in hiding, but the women, Mary Magdalene being one of them, went to the tomb to complete the burial process. But when they had gotten there, the Roman soldiers were on the ground like dead men. There was an angel standing in front of the tomb, and the stone was rolled away. I love what's recorded for us in Luke's gospel. The angel at this point says, why do you seek the living one among the dead? He's not here. He's risen, just as he said he would. Now, by the way, the reason the stone was rolled away was not to let Jesus out, but so that the women and the disciples could see that the tomb was empty. All that remained was the linen cloths, the burial spices, and the headpiece that was neatly folded up and placed in the corner. And then with that, the risen Lord started appearing to people. First to Mary Magdalene, then to Peter, then to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, then to the disciples in the upper room twice, and then finally to 500 people in Galilee. By now, the disciples began to understand that they had just experienced the greatest display of power that this world had ever seen. Jesus Christ had not only lived a perfect life, he not only bore in his body the sins of the whole world on the cross, but he had once and for all conquered death, never to die again. You see, Lazarus had been brought back from the dead, but he died again. Tabitha, she'd been brought back from the dead, but she grew old, and she died as well. Others would do the same, but not Jesus. Jesus was not brought back from the dead. Folks, he conquered death. He defeated death, never to die again. This was his crowning moment. This was proof positive that everything that Jesus taught and said was true. This was proof positive that the sacrifice for sin was acceptable to the Father. In Romans 1:4, it tells us that Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Oh, folks, the world had seen nothing like this. This was the power of God on full display. This was the power of God conquering death. This was the power of God bringing resurrection life. Now, the disciples not only saw this power, but they received this power, and it had an immediate impact upon their lives. They went from being a bunch of defeated, scared followers to men and women who would turn their world right side up for their risen Savior. You can read through the book of Acts, and you can see how the power of God flowed through these men. But more importantly this morning, I want you to see how the power of God can work in you. God wants nothing more than for His divine power to be on display in your life. God wants His power to be real in you. So what does that look like? What can God's power do for you? Well, actually, the list is too long to cover on Easter Sunday morning. But let me just give you three things that God's power will accomplish in your life. Three amazing things that will only happen through the power of God. Here's the first one. God's power is able to save us and bring about a spiritual rebirth in our lives. Jesus said He came to seek and to save those who were lost. This is the spiritual condition of the world apart from Jesus. We are lost. We are sheep without a shepherd. We are boats that have been cut loose from their moorings. We are clouds driven by the wind. Now, some of us are lost and we don't know it. Others of us know that we are lost, but we won't admit it. Most in that category are men. Some of us are lost, and we're proud of it. We wear it on our shirts. We put the little lost decal in the back of our car window. Some of us are lost, and it's scaring us to death. Apart from Jesus Christ, that's the spiritual condition of the world. We are lost. And folks, there's only one that can find us. Actually, folks, there's only one that's looking for you. And that's Jesus. Jesus Christ has been pursuing you your entire life. Do you know that Jesus Christ brought you to this place today? He brought you here today. And He brought you here because He wants you to be found. Found by the God that loves you. Found by the God that created you in your mother's womb. Found by the God that has an amazing plan for your life. Some of you here today, you're a long ways away from God, and you know. You've gone so far into the forest of sin, you don't know which way is up. But see, that's no problem for God. God, in His power, can find and save you right where you are. God has the power to save. Now, once God has found you by His power, He wants to bring you alive spiritually. This is called being born again. It's the most amazing thing that can happen to a person. It's like a personal resurrection. God takes that part of you that is dead because of your trespasses and sins, and He brings it alive in a moment, in an instant. You are alive to God, alive to His love, alive to His grace, alive to His power, alive to His amazing plan for your life. Some of you, you're going to experience that right here today. So you be waiting and watching for that opportunity. Now, the reason that God can save us is because He has the power to forgive and to deliver. This is the second thing that only the power of God can do. Only the power of God can forgive you of your sins and deliver us from its power. See, Jesus Christ went to the cross to do one thing, and that was to pay the price for your sin and for my sin. If you saw Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion of the Christ, you remember the opening scene in the garden where Satan says to Jesus, "No one man can bear the sins of the world." Oh, but you see, he did. He not only bore our sins, he paid the penalty our sin deserved. And so today, God can say to you, if you'll confess your sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. This is something you will find no place else. Only by the power of God can you be forgiven and cleansed. Only God can take your sins as far away as the east is from the west and remember them no more. Not only that, the power of God can deliver you from the hold that sin has on your life. Sin can get a stranglehold on us, can't it? Many of you know this from personal experience. It has a stranglehold that we just can't break free from. Well, we try, we go through programs, we do all the steps, but still, that stranglehold of sin is still there. You see, it takes a supernatural move of God to set us free. It takes the power of God working in us to break us free from sin's hold. You heard the testimony of that all around you today. Those are real people touched by the power of God. God would say to you today, come now. Let us reason together, you and I. Though your sins be as scarlet, I will make them white as snow. That's the power of God. The power of God can forgive us of our sin and deliver us from its power. Here's the third thing that only the power of God can do. Only the power of God can heal us and transform us. Everywhere Jesus went, he brought healing and transformation. It was the hallmark of his ministry. I love the way Jesus described his own ministry to John the Baptist. He said, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them. See, that's what the power of Jesus accomplished back then, and it's still doing those same things today. See, folks, the power of God is here today to heal you physically. The power of God is here today to heal you emotionally. It's here today to heal our marriages and put families back together. It's here today to heal relationships between parents and children, between brothers and sisters in Christ. The power of God brings healing into our lives. Not only does God have the power to heal, he also has the power to transform. And to me, this is one of the greatest aspects of Christianity. That God has the power to transform us into the people that he created us to be. You know, one of the most disheartening things about my life before Christ was my slide away from the person I knew I could be, the person that I wanted to be, which became a free fall into the person I hated being. And maybe you're here today and you know exactly what I'm talking about. Maybe you've watched yourself morph into this person that you never wanted to be. And now you're there, you can't see a way back. But oh, folks, there is a way back. The way back is through the power of God. The way back is through the transformation that only he can bring about in your life. Paul said, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And 1 Peter tells us that God replaces our old sinful nature with his new divine nature. God's divine nature becomes the compass in our lives that keeps us focused on God. It's the GPS signal that keeps us tracking towards being that person that we always knew we could be, the person that you want to be, that God created you to be. See, the power of God can bring healing and transformation into our lives. Now, those are three wonderful things, are they not? The power of God can save us and bring spiritual rebirth into our lives. The power of God can forgive us and break sin hold over us. The power of God can heal us and bring transformation into our lives. Those are three things that you'll find no place else. They're only available through Jesus Christ and the power that he can bring. Now, before we close this morning, let me show you one more aspect of the power of God that will be on display through Jesus Christ. Jesus demonstrated the power of God, oh, you know that sign, through his perfect life and ministry. He demonstrated God's power through his suffering and death on the cross. He demonstrated his power through his resurrection from the dead. But there's still one more demonstration of his power yet to come. And that is the power of God that will be demonstrated at the second coming of Jesus. The Bible is very clear that just as Jesus came to planet Earth the first time as the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world, that he will come again a second time in power and glory as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Folks, Jesus Christ is coming back again. And the Bible says when Jesus comes this time, it will be like lightning flashing from the east into the west, and every eye shall see it. At that point, this world will see a demonstration of God's power that will blow its mind. Folks, the signs of his coming are all around us. Do you see them? Jesus is coming soon. Now, one last thought before we close off this morning. How do you tap into God's power? How does God's power become real in you? Well, the power of God, listen, is bound up in a person, the person of Jesus Christ. You tap into God's power by tapping into him. You tap into Jesus by faith. There's a wonderful account in the Bible of a woman who was in desperate need of the power of God. She was sick. Doctors couldn't heal her. She was dying. She knew it. But then she heard about Jesus. And she heard that Jesus was passing her way, and she thought, if I could just get to him, talk to him, I could be healed. But there was a problem. There was this vast multitude around Jesus, this throng around him, and she knew in her weakened state she could never get close to him, more or less talk to him. But she thought, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I could be healed. And so she plunged into that throng, and all of a sudden, there it was. Jesus was there. And she grabbed a hold of that hem of that garment. And right then, Jesus stopped. And he said, who touched me? Disciples said, yeah, right, Lord, who touched you? This whole throng is touching you. Who hasn't touched you? And Jesus said, no, someone touched me, for power has gone out of me. The woman stood up and said, Lord, it was I. And then Jesus said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. Folks, today the power of God is here because Jesus is here. He wants to save you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to heal you and transform you. But you have to come to him. You've got to get through the crowd. And you've got to grab a hold of Jesus today. In just a couple minutes, I'm going to give you the opportunity to do just that. I'm going to ask you to get up out of your seat, even those of you way in the back, and come up and just meet me right here in front of this stage. And then I'm going to lead you in a prayer of inviting Jesus Christ to come into your life as your Lord and Savior. And together, we are going to ask him to save us and forgive us and to heal us and to transform us. Folks, Jesus is here. And because Jesus is here, the power of God is here. Let this be the day that the power of God begins to work in you. So let's stand together this morning, and I'm going to pray for us. Then after I pray, I'm going to ask you to come. Get out of your seat, come up and meet me right here in front of the stage. This is your day to be touched by the power of God. You pray with me right now. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you're alive, that you conquered death, you defeated death, and today you are our risen Savior. And Lord, to think that there's something that you hold in your heart for each person here, a special way you want to touch them today. Lord, some need salvation. Some need a physical healing. Some need you to touch even their emotions. Some need to be delivered. Some need to be set free from some form of sin. Lord, you know what the need is. And Lord, I believe that you are here. And you're here with power. And you're going to move in the most amazing way, even as you did during the first service. And so, Lord, now I pray you give each one the courage and the faith to get through this crowd and to come up here and say, I want to touch his garment. I want God's power in me.